Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sometimes stats will rock your world. The Mitch Holthus tandem, that is him and Matt McMullen, they do great work over there for the Kansas City Chiefs on their social and on the franchise and all sorts of Chiefs stuff. Matt McMullen sent out a tweet yesterday that says, Patrick Mahomes now owns a winning record, 27-26, in games that he trailed in the fourth quarter for his career. The next closest winning
percentage. He has 26 losses in his career?
Yeah.
That's the one that jumped out. Really? That many losses?
The next closest winning percentage among quarterbacks in league history, minimum 25 starts, is 386. So 0.386. There's a reason why I think there's a, I don't know if I want to say it's arrogance. I don't think it's necessarily the right word, but we talk about it's not cocky if you can back it up. It's not arrogance. Like Rex Ryan was saying, the Patriots were arrogant. We took that to heart. That's why we played our best against them. And then Teddy Bruschi's like, yeah, you beat us once, Rex. This is why, like, when we watch games and maybe you still have that fan that's like, man, I don't know. They're up by 10. I don't feel good about this. And it's like, Patrick Mahomes. There's a reason why he's solidified himself at number one. There's a reason why he's going to play for a three-peat. There's a reason why he's always in the AFC Championship and his record is 5-2 in those games. There's a reason why he's 17-3 in the playoffs. Because if he's behind, it's almost like he plays better. And I know that sounds egregiously weird, because in that first AFC Championship game, blanked in the first half, and then Bill Belichick got figured out by Andy and by Patrick Mahomes in that second half, and he turned into an electric player. Mm-hmm. That was one loss. The other losses in the Super Bowl where he didn't have a lot of supporting cast on the offensive line, was running for his life. You remember the stats. He ran for like, what was it, like 235 yards left and right from sideline to sideline total throughout the game, whatever the stat was. And then the other one, he was just bad in the second half against the Cincinnati Bengals. And there was other things that might have factored into why the chemistry wasn't there, why people were, you know, maybe not in the right spot, but either way, he wasn't good in that second half. We can all say that and be fair. We're not hating on Patrick Mahomes. He was not Patrick Mahomes.
He wasn't good in the first half against the Patriots either, you know?
Right. And you look at the playoff runs that they've had. Came back against Houston, came back against Tennessee, came back in San Francisco. Win, win, win. Not all of those were in the fourth quarter, but that San Francisco one was. They got the interception. What was there, 7 minutes left, and they were down 11, and the Chiefs came back and won? And Philadelphia 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, they were up. Patrick Mahomes came back. When you have that sort of mentality and you have that sort of, you know, arrival, or you have that sort of way to do it when the times get tough and everybody else thinks, okay, we're up by 10. We've heard audio before. Deebo Samuel. Nah, man, we've been here before. We've seen this. I'm not saying anything about this game being over yet. And that to me is why it's so great when this quarterback for the Chiefs went back against the wall. It's like a different persona comes out, and you watch the game, and those people that used to doubt the Chiefs and say, like, I don't know, man, game might be over. It's like, it's never over.
No, it's never over with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. I mean, if you think it's over and you're ahead, well, then you're going to go out there and you're probably going to ultimately lose that football game. He just has that innate ability to come back and do better than other people in those type of situations. And that's a mindset, too. It's also, I do believe a lot of it is, you know, from his dad. I mean, when you're a closer in Major League Baseball or a bullpen guy in Major League Baseball, you can't be fazed by anything. You have to basically be an unfazed type of person. You know, ask anybody who, like Wade Davis, like, I don't even know that he knew he was in a stadium 95% of the time pitching, because that's how laser focused he was at doing that job. It takes a special person, you know, in those type of situations to not focus on all the ancillary stuff that can be going on out there. That's why Joe Montana was so good. It's also part of the reason why Tom Brady was so good too. They never focused on that stuff. And I think one of the greatest Joe Montana stories to kind of relate to Patrick Mahomes and Montana doing this stuff before Mahomes did was in the Super Bowl against the Bengals. They're down and they're on their own 10-yard line with 2 minutes to go, and they need a touchdown. to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They got 90 yards to go, and they're in the huddle, and Joe Montana's got everybody in there, and they're all looking at Joe, and Joe Montana goes, hey, look, there's John Candy in the stands. And everybody just kind of relaxed, and they went right down the field and scored the game-winning touchdown to John Taylor, and they ended up winning that Super Bowl. It's how you do that kind of stuff where you don't let that moment become too big. And Joe Montana was doing that back in 1989 at the Super Bowl. And the players on that team said it relaxed everybody. It took the tension off of everybody at that moment. I can imagine Patrick Mahomes doing that same type of thing. 3:33 to go. You're down three. Hey, man, look, there's Eric Stonestreet in the crowd. Everybody kind of laughs and chuckles. And now everybody's at ease and everybody's relaxed and everybody's going to play better because they're not tense. They're not tight. And Patrick Mahomes has the ability to give that feeling to everybody. Your quarterback gets into the huddle and says, all right, we got to go do this. Let's go. Now, all of a sudden, the tension sets in. The pressure's there. Oh, my God, this is a big moment. You have to know how to relieve that pressure. Let a little air out of your tires. Make it go a little bit smoother. And that's what Patrick Mahomes is able to do. And it's something, I don't want to say he stole that from Joe Montana, but that's three of the greats, Mahomes, Montana, and Manning, or Mahomes, Montana, and Brady. I don't think you debate that there's three greater quarterbacks. They all had that ability to make everybody relaxed around them and handle all the business.
Well, it's funny you mentioned those three names because another stat we have from Scott Casemar, an NFL writer for Pro Football Writers of America, most playoff wins when an opponent scores 29 or more points. Patrick Mahomes, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, 3. Peyton Manning, 2. Kurt Warner, 2. Hopefully those are in good climates. And then Joe Flacco, 2. Mahomes is 4-2, is the only one with a winning record in this split.
Yeah, 29 or more points given up. That means you have to score 30 or more to win in the postseason, which you're playing a postseason team, a team that's in the playoffs. Scoring 30 or more points probably shouldn't be an easy task in a game like that. And Patrick Mahomes has done it at least 4 occasions where you had to go out there and outscore your opponents. And again, he's the guy that's capable of doing that. Whatever the game situation is, Patrick Mahomes understands how to lead his team. And yes, I do believe a lot of that does come from being around that baseball clubhouse and watching Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez and, you know, guys like that do their thing on a daily basis and having that kind of get into your mind as a 5-year-old. You create those memories, you remember those type of moments, and now here you are in real life and you're using everything you learned to go out there and execute and to win football games. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is who he is because of his entire life and all the experiences that he's had in his life. He didn't just show up in Kansas City this way.
Do you think everybody knows now, or do you think everybody's still trying to find an argument to say that there's still things that he can accomplish to become, you know, this great quarterback?
Well, it's going to be interesting, I think, on Super Bowl Sunday, because for the last, I don't know, decade or so, since 2016, everybody in the Super Bowl, or every Super Bowl, has featured Mahomes or Brady, except for 2016. Or every Super Bowl since 2016 has featured either Mahomes and Brady as the quarterback in the Super Bowl, except the Rams and you know, Bengals that we had a couple of years ago. They've all been they've been in the Super Bowl every single year. And now Mahomes has the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady's calling the Super Bowl. And I think a lot of the way that Patrick Mahomes is perceived after this game, let's assume they win this football game, and it's not going to be an easy game, man. I was talking to somebody yesterday about
the
this Philly thing.
Not 35-0.
I mean, and that's what that'll be the prediction, but that defensive line and offensive line for the Eagles is just atrociously big.
The next Chris Jones is coming after you.
Yeah, he is. We've got Jalen Carter guy, man. I don't want to meet
him.
He's
either going to be Chris Jones or Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
One of the two.
That guy is a beast right now. Ndamukong Suh, good for him, though, going to every team and just winning Super Bowls and cashing checks. It's brilliant. So what I was getting at is that so every Super Bowl since 2016 has featured either Brady or Mahomes at quarterback, and now they're going to be in this game together. And when the Chiefs win this game, again, assuming they win this game, I think Patrick Mahomes will be considered the greatest of all time. In my opinion, he will, because you had won 3 straight Super Bowls. But from a national standpoint, if Tom Brady anoints him as the greatest of all time on that Super Bowl broadcast, I think that goes a long, long way for the pundits to say whether or not Patrick Mahomes is the greatest. If Tom Brady says, look, he's won 3, it's something I could never do, something Joe could never do, he's past me, he's got to be considered the greatest of all time, then in my opinion, there's no more argument on who the greatest of all time is if Tom Brady gives that torch to Patrick Mahomes on national television on Super Bowl Sunday for winning 3 in a row.
Coming up, we'll get to On the Come at 8:30. Plus, we'll play you some audio of Shannon Sharpe, who just spits straight facts on who Mahomes really is. And big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, your home for your AFC championships.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan.
I want to get to a Shannon Sharpe cut here in just a second because he just spits straight facts. I've always loved that he's always kind of been that sort of guy.
I wish more and more guys that play the game were like Shannon Sharpe, right? Like, Shannon's not just going to go for the low-hanging fruit and attack the referees. He's actually going to have a great Chiefs take for everybody to hear. Mm-hmm. And it really, like, bothers me when guys who play the game who think they know the game, just because you played doesn't mean you know anything about football, have such awful takes. Take a lesson from Shannon Sharpe, man.
Take a lesson and take a listen.
New England, and you never gave the defense credit. Tom Brady had guys. What about Malcolm Butler play? Tom Brady was the MVP. We keep trying to say it's this and this and this. You can put all those intangibles together. It's 1-5 that's the glue that keeps it together.
But no one's
Stop
arguing that.
Stop doing this, D.O. I know, look, I know it hurt. No. And ain't nobody feeling sorry for a man making $50 million a year and he got his butt kicked again. It doesn't matter what he played. He had Patrick Mahomes in his building last year and Patrick Mahomes put his foot up on his couch. He goes to Patrick Mahomes' house and Patrick Mahomes kick him out. It does not matter. It's 1-5. These guys can beat any of these other quarterbacks. Lamar can beat Burrow. Josh Allen can beat Burrow, yada, yada, yada. The greatest advantage an athlete can have is another man's fear.
Ooh.
They fear Pat. They know if it's a one-score game, they can't see it.
Now I know that nobody in the sports world will ever go out there and be like, yeah, I just fear that guy. The only one I think I can ever remember that is like John Kruk, whenever Randy Johnson threw a fastball. Like, that was straight up like, all right, yeah, like I fear
that
guy.
That was an all-star game moment.
Yeah, I mean, that was just personality showing, you know, what it is because of, you know, who Randy Johnson was. Like,
the thing is, Randy Johnson was probably throwing at John Kruk anyway in an all-star game.
Or just didn't like him because he was chubby. Like, Randy Johnson was just like one of those red-ass type of guys. Like, hey, check this out. Like,
yeah.
You know, obviously threw 99 miles an hour and then had a slider that would snap at a heartbeat. But I think that's fair when, you know, Shannon Sharpe says that, where it's like, well, you know, Dan Orlovsky's saying, yeah, Patrick Mahomes has this defense that he can lean on, and Patrick Mahomes has this. It's like, well, when the Patriots are doing, nobody, and maybe I'm prisoner of the moment, I don't remember, you know, because I wasn't listening to radio and, you know, whatever it is all the time, but when we went back and looked at Tom Brady's career, it was always like, you do realize that he had a really good defense. And then when Mahomes was doing it early on, it was like, what happens if Patrick Mahomes gets a defense? And you're like, well, then he doesn't have to go out there and be Superman.
Right. Even though people still think it's 2018 and expect him to be Superman.
And I think what Shannon Sharpe is saying there is that Patrick Mahomes is that guy because, like we've mentioned so far this week and we've done on Instagram videos as well, Jordan was that guy. Like, Tiger was that guy. Like, that documentary that I watched on Tiger Woods where the guy's sitting there doing the commentary and he's like, you know, people would say, like, I want a shot at Tiger on Sunday. I want the red shirt next to me on a tee box and have a chance to win the tournament. The guy literally pauses and goes, the F you do.
Yeah, you, like, you want him to have a bad round so you don't have to face him on Sunday.
Like, you can say that, but you don't want that. And we talked about Mahomes playing from behind. It's almost like, and somebody in the text line was like, I'd rather just the Chiefs be down by 10 in the fourth quarter. I'll feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like the great ones at the moment of despair seem to rise above it all. And that's what Mahomes always seems to do. We got it all. It was foreshadowed in his first start ever as a quarterback. Hey, go out there and have fun. Last game of the year. Everybody's checked out for Denver. Just go out there and do your thing. Goes out there, makes Albert Wilson look like a superstar. All of a sudden, the Chiefs have the lead. They're like, all right, you've had enough. Get out of here. We want to make sure you're all right for the next season because you're going to be our starting quarterback. No matter what happens in the playoffs, Alex Smith will no longer be here. You will be the guy. And then all of a sudden, Tyler Bray went in the game in a game that was meaningless. Mm-hmm. And what did Andy Reid do once they lost the lead? Hey, Pat, can you go out there and run a 2-minute drill and win it in your first year ever in the NFL? I'll see what I can do. Yeah. And he went out there and got the Chiefs to come back and win the game, kick a field goal. What have we seen since then?
Yeah, nothing but that. I mean, and that's just the way it is. And again, it's something that can't be taught. It's something you learn over time. It's something you're born with. It's something that's in your DNA. And, you know, this is a situation where we're very fortunate to have him on our side. And the thing is, too, Patrick has learned how to win in different ways. It's not like he just goes out there and dominates. Patrick Mahomes has had to work through some struggles. First of all, not having a defense. Second of all, not having wide receivers. Trading Tyree. Like, the whole thing that we've seen over the years and how this offense has changed and how this team has changed and really how this organization's changed. And he's been that one constant, but as much as the change come, he's changed with everybody and still has kind of been that leader, but has moved forward as well and figured out ways to do things differently that maybe in the past he just had to throw it up and number 10 would run underneath it and catch it. That's not there anymore. What do we do? Well, we'll figure it out and we'll continue to win Super Bowls. And there's a lot of people in all walks of life who just get stuck in their ways and they're not willing to change, and they get fired real fast out of these head coaching jobs or just fired out of life in general. How much has Andy Reid changed and matured as a head football coach since he's come to Kansas City and changed what he was all about? And how much has Patrick Mahomes changed and become a better quarterback since he's come here to Kansas City? It's no wonder he is the greatest postseason quarterback of all time. The man is 17-3 in the postseason and has now thrown 50 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions in 20 postseason games. Mm. Let that sink in for a second. In 20 postseason games, he's thrown 50 touchdowns. That's almost 3 touchdowns per game in the postseason. That's how good Patrick Mahomes has been. And when you're watching Patrick Mahomes and you're on his team and he's doing everything at a top level, you're doing everything at the top level as well, because you're not about to let Patrick Mahomes down. And so his performance and the way that he plays and the way that he goes about things has that trickle-down effect, because if you're a guy inside that locker room that's playing on this team, mm-hmm. and Patrick Mahomes is going through the extra work and doing the extra stuff and taking it up a notch, you are as well. So his presence just makes everybody better, which is what Tom Brady and Joe Montana's presence did too, and Michael Jordan's presence. He made Scottie Pippen look like a halfway decent player.
And if you remember, this is what Deebo Samuel said about Patrick Mahomes.
I remember Juwan Jennings, bro. And we on the sideline, they had just got the ball back, and they needed 3-2 tie to go on overtime. And Juwan Jennings over there like, yeah, man, we about to win the Super Bowl. And like me, I've been there, I played against Patrick Mahomes in 2019, bro. We up. Mm. We up 10 with 4 minutes left and lose by 10. Like, I've seen it. So yeah. I'm like, bro, like, just relax, bro. Let's just let our defense do what it's going to do. I'm over there on the sideline. Like, I think it's a minute.
I remember that. They went overtime. Yes. They showed you guys' faces.
Bro, it's like a minute and something left. Juwan over there, like, let's go. I'm like, twin, like, chill out, bro. Like, they drive it. I'm just like, dang. Like, I see it. Right. Like, him with the ball, it's like Tom Brady with the ball back in the day. It's just like, because like at the end of the day, nobody want to play them running quarterbacks, bro. Like them running quarterbacks, and as good as he is, it's just like, you just got to pray.
I don't consider Patrick a running quarterback. I consider Patrick a quarterback that runs when he needs to and always gets the yardage that he needs. A running quarterback is, you know, Michael Vick, or, you know, even Lamar can be kind of put into that category. Patrick Mahomes is not a running quarterback at all. Mm-hmm. He's just a quarterback that knows how to run effectively more than just about anybody else that's ever played the game.
Situational runner.
Yeah, exactly.
Improviser, yeah. Scrambler.
Three touchdowns on Sunday, two of which were rushing touchdowns. I mean, just straight facts from
Deebo Sanders.
So it's always great when you hear that, because again, we go back to like the fear, right? Like, that's not Deebo Samuel or
Deebo Sanders
coming out and saying that it's, you know, I fear this man, but that is somebody who fears that moment because of the man. And when he says that to Juwan Jennings, who's out there like, yeah, dude, we got this. We're about to do this. He's like, chill, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you have no idea. That's in your mind. And I know for a fact that's in Josh Allen's mind. That's in Sean McDermott's mind. That was in, you know, D'Amico Ryans' mind. That was in T.J. Stroud's. It's going to be in Philadelphia's.
The mind is everything. And, you know, I've used this, you know, commentary a lot from George Brett. If you go to the ballpark that day thinking you're going to be beat, you're going to be beat 90% of the time.
Oh, 100%.
You've got to have in your mindset that we're going to win this game. And any shadow of a doubt that's in your mind is going to prevent you from accomplishing that goal. And that's why, like, Seth Joyner, I get his commentary of, I don't care about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give a rat's ass about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
And that's the right mindset to take. You can't worry about the other team.
But isn't also by saying that you do care? It's like kind of contradicting.
Yeah, maybe, but
I don't
care
about what they have to say. It's like, so you do care.
Yeah, but I think that has to be the mindset, though. Like, he doesn't play, obviously, anymore. But, like, if you're on the Eagles right now, like, if you're Jalen Carter, you can't come out there and go, man, this Patrick Mahomes, I'll tell you what, we just can't figure this guy out or something like that. Like, then you're already beat. If you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you do need to have that mindset. I don't care about Patrick Mahomes. I know if I do what I need to do, that we're going to win this football game. And so if they go in with the mindset of worrying about Patrick Mahomes, it's taking away from them to focus on what they need to do to get better. Just like the Texans focusing on the penalties and, you know, the Buffalo fan base or whoever now focusing on the refs. You're not focusing on the task at hand here, and that's doing what it takes to win. And Sean McDermott, I mean, you had the opportunity to run the football. You chose not to do that because you're worried about other things. You're focusing on Patrick Mahomes or whoever the case may be. You got to focus on what you need to do to win those games. And when you start, you know, straying and thinking this and thinking that, it takes away from what you need to do. We'll see how good of a leader Nick Sirianni is going into the Super Bowl and see if Philadelphia is focused on Patrick Mahomes or if they're just worried about getting their job done.
I have never seen Kansas City run this offensive play before, and it seems like they saved it for the very perfect moment in the AFC title game. They score on it twice in two different ways.
You know,
Mr. I watch film and break film down.
Or just steal Greg Rousseau's tweet.
Could be that too.
Because that, what Dan Orlovsky said, is exactly what Greg Rousseau, who played in the game, said after the game. We watched all their film and never saw this play ever. Dan Orlovsky, give credit where credit's due, bro.
A lot of that goes around.
I mean, you kind of ran out of the back of the end zone on that one, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy, something else.
I've watched all, or you stole Greg Rousseau's tweet.
Or it's okay to admit that you may not have seen all plays by the Chiefs.
But why not just give Greg Rousseau the credit for that? Because I thought that was a great comment after the game.
For some people to do sometimes. You know, you see something, you go with it. You know, that's what a lot of people do.
I know, but just give credit where credit's due. Like,
that's tough,
like Greg Rousseau's a legit player, right? Like a legit player in this league, right? He comes out after the game and goes, damn, man, I'll tell you, give credit, all the credit in the world. Like, that right there should shut up all the referee people, okay? A player on your team openly admitted that they did stuff that they'd never seen before. That's why you lost the game, because the Chiefs were one step ahead of you. And so for Orlovsky to get out there and say that kind of stuff, I watched all. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just give the guy credit.
From the 918, here's a fact for you, Dustman. The Chiefs are wearing white uniforms for the Super Bowl. They haven't lost a Super Bowl wearing them, and only two teams have won a Super Bowl not wearing white uniforms in the last 10 years, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Patrick beat these dudes on one leg last time. I mean,
they didn't have Saquon Barkley last time.
No.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
He's
Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the Chiefs still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Damn right.
That's right.
And they still have Sirianni and Big Don.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Sirianni and Hurts versus Reid and Mahomes.
Which, shouldn't the Super Bowl like graphic, and this isn't a shot at Hurts, maybe it is, shouldn't it be Saquon and Patrick? Like, that's the two.
Yeah.
Like, that's the that's the two.
God,
like,
forbid we give somebody other than a quarterback props in this league, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, like, why would we give anybody other than a quarterback? Like, they always put the graphic up on Championship Sunday of the four quarterbacks with their backs looking at the Super Bowl stadium, you know?
I've got to listen to this again because the text line just said
a couple of years ago, it was like Blake Bortles and a bunch of rum-dums out there. And this year, you know, you got Hurts, you got, Allen, you got Mahomes, and, you know, whoever else played for Wash Daniels. And it's like, those are four really legit quarterbacks going into this league. You got to make it all about the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league.
For
I get
sure.
what you're saying. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, to me, is the X factor for both of these teams. He's the difference maker for both the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. If he runs great like he did against Washington, it'll be a long day.
Somebody says Dano sounded like a fourth grader giving a book report in this audio.
I have never seen Kansas City run this offensive play before, and it seems like they saved it for the very perfect moment in the AFC title game. They score on it twice in two different ways.
You know,
I mean, at least he's not.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
On the come. Not bad.
On the come.
That was poorly placed. One more time, Terry. I didn't mean to do it.
On the come.
One more time.
On the come.
Not Jerry Jones and a biscuit.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Somebody. Sadly, I don't know who, man.
Sadly, bro.
Somebody. He's getting injected with that life serum somewhere in his life, man, because he's still kicking. Here we go. On the come this week, I can start this off. I'll go two Chiefs players because Mac went two Chiefs players. Let me tell you something, Mac. My on the come, Nico Remigio, man.
Yes.
Damian Hughes kind of alluded to it earlier about how he had to take over the role from Mecole Hardman. The guy's been fantastic on special teams plays. Nobody outside of this radio station probably knows who he is. That man's going to do something special in the Super Bowl. He's given us reason. He's given us reason to do that. Houston Texans game, he was fine. This game, he was fine. Got good yardage. I mean, the Houston Texans game, he broke it open. It's not his fault the offense didn't score, but the dude's got some talent. The dude plays with a little bit of speed, a little bit of chip. I don't know what it is. I mean, you want to get your. That's the thing that's so great about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's such a great franchise, and they win so much. Everybody wants to be some sort of part of it. Like when the season's all said and done and we go back and, you know, there's the red carpet moments and there's all this sort of stuff that gets talked about, people still will mention Kadarius Toney's return in that Super Bowl against Philadelphia.
Huge.
They will remember that punt return. Even though Kadarius Toney might go down as one of the biggest frauds for the Kansas City Chiefs, you will always remember that Super Bowl run back from that punt return. If Nico Remigio can do that again in the next game up, continues to be on the come, maybe gets himself a, you know, solidified roster spot on this team moving forward for many more years to come. Mecole Hardman, we don't know what's going to happen to him after this knee surgery. He might lose a couple steps. Nico Remigio, next man up. And oh, by the way, he'll be on the show at 9 o'clock once again because he's a fan of the show. My other one on the come, Juwan Taylor.
Absolutely.
I thought, man, guys, I thought we were going to have a moment. I didn't think they were going to lose. Obviously, I made my predictions on many platforms. I didn't think they were going to lose, but in the back of my mind, I was in fear. 3rd and 7, fourth quarter, illegal shift or whatever it is, number 74, offense. I was so worried about that. Never happened. So, nice job, Juwan Taylor, on the come. Nico Remigio, Juwan Taylor for Munn, Dusty Likens.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Deion Dawkins start early on that touchdown pass right before halftime?
Could have fooled me.
I don't know, man. I didn't see a flag, which is fine. I don't care.
Didn't Philadelphia also hold on the touchdown they threw to A.J. Brown in that game that really made a pivotal moment in that game? Oh, I'm sorry. It would have been four. It was on 4th and 5. They threw it to – but the refs – I'm done. I'm
done.
The
Chiefs get the calls, guys. Come on.
Done.
Stop
we're done.
That.
Yeah, we're Stop done. Leaning into it.
Yeah, no, we're done.
Come on, man.
For me, it's pretty simple this week on the come. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are my two. I mean, there's so much at stake now for these two guys when it comes to their legacy. The way we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid now is going to be different if they win this third Super Bowl in a row in less than 2 weeks. And that Monday morning after the Chiefs win their third straight Super Bowl, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are an untouched heir. They're in a category all by themselves. They have literally done something that nobody in the history of the world in this, you know, 365 billion years of being here, they will have done something that nobody in the history of the world has ever done, and that's be the first quarterback coach combination to win three championships in the NFL. The entire narrative and their entire body of work and career trajectory changes with a three-peat.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a similar note there, but going with Matt Nagy and Spags, whereas I think their careers can completely change with a three-peat. I think huge coaching carousel this time. Coaching
five for Spags.
He had one with the Giants.
He's won three with the Chiefs,
and then it'll be
four.
No, this will be four with
one with the Giants and three with the Chiefs. That'd be
he's only been here for. All three. You're right. You're right. So it'd be his.
Yeah, because they didn't win a Super Bowl till Spags got here.
True. So it was only giving that back to back. Yeah.
So
damn,
and that's insane. Dude.
And I'm trying to think of like Spags picked up like a rando ring. Some like he was like a consultant with Baltimore one year,
that.
But
don't
like total rings. I mean, they're counting Andy Reid as like seven rings or something like that. You know, when he wins.
Well, in Jacksonville come next season, they're going to be really sad that they hired.
Yeah.
Duval.
Yeah, and there's going to be other people going, wait, we didn't hire Spagnuolo. We didn't hire Matt Nagy, who won three straight Super Bowls and catered
there's
one of the best
very
offenses.
Very low percentage of this.
I think Spags
is smiles and glory holds.
I think Spags' age hurts him. He's 65 years old. I think it hurts him in a league. And also,
I think situation in city hurts him. Yeah. Like, why would I leave this?
Well, that does. But situation in city also hurt him when he was head coach of the Rams.
Sure.
Because that was a lame organization in St. Louis that wasn't trying to win. They were looking to fail to move. And that's his, you know, kind of resume is what he did as a head coach.
City.
Not really, really good. This is a young man's league. Look at all these coaches that are getting hired right now.
Pete Carroll.
You know, the exception to the rule, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's why I love that hire, because they did something. They hired a guy who's proven, except for this Willy Wonka guy down in Jacksonville who looks just like Gene Wilder.
Aaron Glenn, 52.
Is that considered young?
No.
For head coaching standpoint.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a little older.
Aaron Glenn probably just about the same age as his current quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I would say that's middle of the pack, because I think like guys like Carroll's an outlier. I mean, he's what, 75, 74?
Yeah, 72, somewhere in there. Yeah, mid-70s. Yeah.
I mean, Reed's getting up there.
Reed's 65, 66. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say those are the older guys. I would say, like, you know, the young 50s are like the middle-aged guys now. And then you have all the, like, McVays and, you know, Kevin O'Connells and guys like that that are, like,
everybody's trying to catch that lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire a guy who last year at this time was like an art class, and then, you know, saying Duval, like, sorry, bro, like, you're done before he even started.
Tell me you ate mushrooms without telling me you ate mushrooms.
Duval.
Okay.
He's 39, Liam Cohen.
Can he please put on a purple suit and take me to the chocolate factory?
Anything you want to do it.
Duval.
Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Oh, my. I just looked at him yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God. Real life Gene Wilder here being Willy Wonka.
I mean, good for them.
They got by far the best Willy Wonka.
Well, I mean, there's not one even remotely close.
Not even close.
Johnny Depp was on Xanax, and Timothée Chalamet was just singing.
I haven't seen that one.
And way too much singing.
I haven't watched either of those because the original is just perfect.
Yep, don't do it.
Every time I start the original, I'm like, all right, I got to pause it, go to Quick Trip, and grab like five chocolate candy bars.
They start making all that chocolate. I'm like, I'll be right back.
Scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
And you'll see a world of pure inebriation.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
Ugh. Have you ever seen a wet biscuit, if I'm being honest?
Yeah, they pour that gravy all over the top of it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, you ever, like, spilt a cup of water at Red Lobster and it got over the Cheddar Bay?
Oh, that's,
to, like,
that would be terrible if you did that. But
apparently,
man,
that's what his dinger looks like.
I mean, those Cheddar Bay biscuits are good. You
no
ruin one of those
steaks
in the water?
Yeah, no sloppy biscuits, apparently, if you think you should leave. Again, we'll tease it again. Nico Remigio, he'll join the show at 9 o'clock. Fan of the show. And then also coming up on the other side, Start Bench Cut. Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We'll get your take as well as we get to Start Bench Cut on the other side. Don't forget, big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
I love the 620s text from here because I used to do a podcast called the Subplot Cast where I would dissect movies and take a plot of it and put my own spin on it. One that's a common one, but it depends on how you can put your own pizzazz on it. Grandpa Joe was a dirtbag. Dude,
absolutely.
That guy sucked. Speaking of Start Bench Cut, Jenny, Grandpa Joe. That's it. Dude, that guy was buying candy bars with money they didn't have, learn how to walk to go to a factory while the mom's making porridge downstairs in the laundry room, singing songs about her son who doesn't know what way is left or right. God, Grandpa Joe's a piece of garbage. So is Jenny. All right, let's get into the Start Bench Cut.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
From the 913, he means a wet biscuit, like just out of the can.
Oh, those are nasty.
The one you have to like hit on the counter and it pops open.
Yeah.
Those used to make my friend's mom afraid. So she'd always have us like pop the can because she was afraid it was going to
explode or whatever.
I guess. Jerry Jones, man. All right. Start Bench Cut brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Let's start with the Chiefs. Super Bowl teams that are in the three-peat. 2022, 2023, this year's team.
I think this is the best one, so I would start this one. I think last year was so, just fulfilling, so I'll bench that one, and then I'll cut the first one.
The one with Kadarius Toney taking the punt return back?
Yeah, the first Philadelphia one. I'll go ahead and cut that one because winning the second one after having no wide receivers and it can't be done, 11-6, there was satisfaction in that one, especially for me personally to see Travis Kelce go off in the playoffs mm-hmm. after everyone said he was no good anymore. And then this one I think is the best overall team that Patrick Mahomes has been associated with.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 15-1.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I'm with you. Defense from top to bottom, yeah. All three phases, they're good. Yeah, I think I start this team just because in the year of a three-peat, like you had just mentioned, they went 15-2 total record on the season, beat Houston, beat Buffalo, now plays Philadelphia. I will bench. I think I'm just going to do the same one you did. I think I'll bench the one where they beat Philadelphia. Or no, you had that one. Mm-hmm. I'll cut last year's winning team in the Super Bowl, and I'll bench the one they won in 2022 just because they had Kadarius Toney as a wide receiver.
Yeah. Did make an awesome play. But
last year they were like, you're done. Like, you're out.
Get Kadarius out wasn't a heel until the following year, though, you know?
Yeah, he became a heel the minute they played Detroit in week one.
In week one, yeah, he did.
He had negative yards, three drops, and one went for a pick six.
Right.
Otherwise, they're the one seed. Then he had the Buffalo Bills game.
Right.
Otherwise, they're the one seed.
Yeah.
And then he made Patrick Mahomes turn into, not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so. Mount Patrick Mahomes, man, causing him to explode on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'd do the same as Bob. I'd cut the 3 years, two, 3 years ago, bench last year's and start this year's. Being here with you guys covering it has been really awesome. So,
start, bench, cut, Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine.
I'm starting, obviously, Kareem Hunt. I'm benching P. Ryan. Sorry, Pacheco. I said it the day you got drafted and started to play well, you're probably not going to make a lot of money in the NFL, and I think we kind of saw that on Sunday. They kind of maybe not going to go back to him a lot. You got to go with the guys you can rely on right now.
I love you, Samaje P. Ryan!
Yeah, I think that's the only answer right now. It sucks. Like, we love Pacheco. He's great, but he lacks vision right now, and it's not what it needs to be.
Is he healthy?
I think he's healthy.
I mean, he's on the field, so if you're on the field playing, you're healthy.
He looks fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love you, Samaje Perine!
And all these, like, well, he's banged up. And are you using that as your excuse? Nah, if you're on the field and you're playing, I expect you to be your best.
Okay. All right.
It's faster than Kareem Hunt.
And quite honestly, fumbling has nothing to do with health, you know?
Catching
a ball has nothing to do with health.
Yep. Dusty, that's still someone's grandpa. You can't talk like that about a grandpa. The hell I can't.
Talk about however you want about anybody.
That guy, whole family couldn't get out of bed, but all of a sudden he got a golden ticket. Not even he did. It was Charlie. Mom's eating
pork. Yeah, he didn't get it.
Yeah, grandpa's a jerk. Richard of the century. All right. Somebody says, don't you have beef with Jonathan Moxon for Varsity Blues? Thank you for listening to that podcast. It was fun. We continue to start bench cut here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Sports that you have to watch when football's not being played. Boy, we find out how well football does in America during this week.
I mean, really, this is the...
Right?
Yeah, I noticed it on
catch
Saturday.
Up on documentaries.
Like Saturday, we're kind of just chilling or whatever, and I'm like, there's nothing on sports-wise. Back out.
So, start bench cut right now for sports that you have that you can consume.
Uh-huh.
The TGL League / the startup for the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend. Fun tournament. It's a fun tournament. Conference tournaments in NCAA or the NBA.
I'm going to go with the National Hockey League starting, benching spring training baseball, and cutting all the rest.
What did I tell you this morning?
Yeah, I knew. No, I knew you wouldn't like it either.
None of that interests me
at
all.
That's fair.
It's just not.
No, it's fair.
It's not interesting.
The NBA start, then NCAA, and then Dusty. If I was with you, I could get into this, but by myself, I'm just not turning it on.
Yeah, I mean, give me TGL, PGA startup, man. Because that lets me know spring's coming, man.
I'd rather watch Masters commercials than any of that other stuff. Because that puts me in the spring mood. Every time I hear that piano music,
yeah, the
which
music,
they've gotten away from, which I don't like. I'm just going to be honest with you. I like the piano music. I don't need Ray Charles and Georgia on my mind. Give me the Masters music. Always reminds me of sun and warmth and all that kind
Jim
of
Nance,
stuff.
Jim Nance, soothing voice. Yeah.
You'll get
friends.
It. You'll get it. They do that, and they play Bruce Hornsby in the range, Valley Road. We go to beverages. Your favorite sports drink, your favorite soda flavor, or your favorite flavored water?
I guess I'll go flavored water first, then sport drink zero, you know, and then I'm not a soda guy, so.
When's the last time you had a soda?
Like a Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola,
whatever,
Diet Coke?
Carbonated beverage of soda.
No, I drink club soda. Does that count?
No.
Okay, so
like a Sprite or a Coke or a...
Not with a... Probably alcoholic beverage by itself, a soda.
Yeah. Probably close to 15 years.
Wow. Ooh, good for you.
Yeah, that's honestly, yeah.
I say there's not a lot of things better than a Coca-Cola and a slice of pepperoni pizza.
Oh, I mean, it's a fantastic combination. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a cigarette after sex.
Yeah, no, there's pizza and soda is really good and, you know, that kind of stuff.
I don't do it often. Like, I don't drink a lot of soda.
No, I just don't. I started drinking iced tea and that's been it for, I used to drink a lot of Diet Coke, but I don't know. One day I just decided I'm not doing it anymore. And that was it. Probably about, 10 to 15 years.
I think I'd go favorite sports drink, soda flavor, and I'd cut water.
Yeah, I'd go soda, sports drink, then
flavored water just weirds me out. Like, why does this taste like strawberries? It's clear.
Yeah, and in those packets of stuff. I've never been a flavored water person, though, either. I mean,
Let's go to taco meats. Beef, shrimp, or chicken?
I'm going to go chicken, beef. Wait, what did you say? Beef, chicken, or shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
Shrimp. Chicken, beef, in that order.
Okay. I think I would probably go, chicken, shrimp, beef. Yeah. Starting chicken, benchy, because chicken just, I don't know, it's just delicious in a taco.
And beef is just,
generic.
Yeah, it's basic.
Now, if you're to be like carne asada, cabeza,
you're eating
pork.
Head?
Oh, yeah. Never had it?
Oh, I have, yeah.
It's not bad.
No. It's very good. Barbacoa, it's the cheekbone of the cow. It's very good.
Head cheese.
Now that you could have.
Yeah, that's also another one too.
What about fish in your tacos? Tilapia, salmon, and shrimp. Because I know you're a big fish taco guy, Bob.
Yeah, I'll go, if I'm going salmon tacos from Cactus, if they ever put them back on the menu, Ryan.
Please, I want to try it.
Then I'll go shrimp, and then I'll go, they got like this bacon jelly sauce on it that you put on Brussels sprouts and stuff,
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
Oh, what? You're not liking
not
that?
Not a sweet and salty guy.
Yeah, okay. You're passing. I'll smash. Smash for two on that one.
But I mean, I would do a blackened,
Yeah, I would like that.
Tilapia, yeah, I would probably go tilapia, shrimp, salmon. Start tilapia, bench shrimp, salmon, get out of here.
I've never had a salmon taco.
Neither have I.
I believe you, Bob, that they're awesome.
They're unbelievable, yeah.
But because I haven't, I'm going to go shrimp, tilapia, then salmon. Tilapia feels like the safest option here.
Hey, coming up next week, we got a lot going on, obviously, with the Super Bowl, but we're also going to give you an opportunity to win from our friends over at Hy-Vee. 96.5 The Fan and Hy-Vee, we're teaming up to bring you the ultimate challenge, Name That Year. Here's how it works. Listen to us in the morning for unforgettable Chiefs playoff highlights each day. When you hear one, call in and guess the year that play is from. If you get it right, you'll qualify to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. Call in, score big, and make Hy-Vee your home for game day snacks, party supplies, and so much more. It's Name That Year, only on 96.5 The Fan each day next week. So be listening for your chance to win.
Nico Remigio will join us on the other side on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.